Welcome to GamerCast, episode 114.
114.
114.
And I'm Paul, and this is GamerCast.
Recorded on a bank holiday Monday. I am back. We are back. I'm back from Canada. It was great. Lovely.
I thought Friday was a bank holiday.
No, I had the day off on Friday. See, it was all planned, so that when we came back, it was a bank holiday weekend, so it gave us lots of time to get sorted. But I only just got back from doing food shopping, because we had nothing in the house. All we had were frozen meals that Sarah had made up before she went, so we had something to eat when we got back. But yeah, it was good. Quite good to have a look around the electrical stores and see what's available, sort of thing. One thing that kind of weirded me out a bit.
What are you talking about?
In Canada, video game stores. In the PC section.
Yeah, Adam got back from Canada.
Yeah, so I've been away to Canada for 2 weeks. That's why the show's been on hold.
Of course, if we wanted to be hardcore, we could have recorded it over the interwebs.
Yeah, although the internet connection at my friend's house is rubbish. All the other sections are pretty much the same. Boxes all look the same apart from DS and PC. Obviously, the PC boxes are they're DVD boxes, but they're wider from front to back. And it was weird to see an entire shelf like that. But the other thing that's quite...
Yeah, you've only been used to my imports.
But the other thing that was kind of weird, apart from World of Warcraft, all those boxes were much thicker because they were the same thickness, was the fact that they had the battle chests. They had the World of Warcraft 3 battle chest with expansion pack, StarCraft, and the new one for World of Warcraft, which came with the standard one and with the book and the Burning Crusade and stuff. And they weren't like old stock. They were all brand new in every shop I went into that sold video games. Those are at the front. It's really weird. And they also had these weird battle chests for Ubisoft as well, where they had all of the Ghost Recons bundled together in a tin box and something else. And they also had one that was Splinter Cell, so it was every single Splinter Cell game up to date all shoved into one box. So it was weird how some of the games were slightly different on what we get here to what they get there.
Do they have like uber bargain bin cheapo £5 games?
It's exactly the same sort of thing with the ones that I went into, because we went into EB Games and exactly the same thing where they got like this cage thing with loads of Xbox pre-owned stuff just dumped in there, and they have similar to like it is in GameStation with a rack with loads of old GBA games on there and bits without their boxes and stuff like that. One side of their whole entire till was filled with a stack of all the drum kits and guitars from Rock Band, because Rock Band's been out there for ages. It's doing quite well. My mate John, who lives in Canada, they have it at work because they have an entertainment room at their office, which they've got an Xbox in and a big screen TV, and they've got the drum kit and two guitars and the microphone set up in there, so everyone goes and plays on their lunch break. We were going to go have a go on it, but we never got a chance to go over to his work to play on it. We went into a few electrical stores, which were very weird. It's a different sort of thing. You probably find it very similar to maybe going into Currys Direct, which used to be Dixon's, where you get pounced on by salespeople. EB was pretty much like walking into a game. It was pretty much the same sort of thing, but... When we went into this major one that's called Future Shop, which is all electrical goods from TVs, PCs, the lot, the whole works. And you couldn't walk around a single section without someone jumping on you. I did look through the DVDs, was tempted to bring back a few DVDs. There wasn't much of a selection on high definition. I did scout that out to see if there was anything good there, but it seems to have pretty much the same amount that we've got here on the shelves. And it didn't seem as much any cheaper than it is here, so it wouldn't seem that worth it. But it was quite cool to actually go around and see TV series that are already out in box set there and not out here. But the funny thing was, it's like they're waiting for stuff that's big over there, which is stuff like Robin Hood and stuff like that, things, and Doctor Who, and it takes long. We get them way ages before they all receive them. So it's the other way around. They've got to wait for each series to come out, and they're a season behind us on all the BBC television stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like, yeah, we get it before you. But yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
Well, I'm sure most people just download TV series from the internet anyway, so whatever.
Yeah.
They need to start bringing it out sooner so that, piracy is reduced.
Yeah. People prove they want it if you can have it like that.
That's why, in the video game industry now, you have worldwide releases.
Yeah.
Big titles, worldwide release. Lesser titles within a couple of weeks of each other.
Because look at the new release film that's just come out, Iron Man. You cannot pirate Iron Man to get it out in UK before it came out in cinema, because it came out worldwide release. It got advertised that it was coming out on Friday before I came back. There were people in UK already watching it before it came out in Canada, because they watched it on pre-release in UK on Thursday. It's not like you're going to be able to get anything any quicker, and I think that's the thing. You stop region releases and have worldwide releases, you're not going to get piracy, because some people can't be asked to go for lower quality. They will just go out and buy it. It's because of that waiting between someone else getting it and our country getting it.
Especially now the internet, so you know people in America, you know people in Japan, and you're all on the same forum.
Yeah.
That really brings it home, because before you had no contact with the outside world.
Yeah, you were your mate down the street, but now you have friends in multiple countries and they're playing a game or watching a film before you. And that's where you're kind of like, well, I want, it's out, why can't I watch it? It's finished, why shouldn't it be allowed to be put everywhere? So I do like that a bit more. But because the Virgin thing that they keep advertising, because they start pumping that out of the cinema as well, Virgin TV, with Samuel Jackson forefronting the advertisement, where you can watch any TV program whenever you want. See, it looks like they're trying to push that out, where a TV series will come out and you watch it new, and then once it's been released, you could watch any episode whenever you want, sort of thing. Don't know how great the service is going to be, but that's where it's at.
Anything from Richard Branson is bound to suck.
Yeah, that's the next thing that came across to me. I thought, good idea, how about the quality? But when we get quality digital TV, and you're kind of like, right, I really want to watch the last episode of Stargate Atlantis. Oh, there we go, we'll watch it. I really want to watch the first episode, the second episode.
That's all IPTV.
Yeah. And then it's like, I want to watch this.
So no, it'll be shit for a decade, 20 years.
Yeah.
Because,
the service will take a long time before the technology makes it crisp.
You can have a broadcasting transmitter which pumps out 20 megabits per second solid to everyone, or you can everybody try and feed off 20 megabits per second for the same quality broadcast, and, the internet just collapses.
Yeah. It might force people to start, the service to get pushed a little bit more, because now people are really, more people are using the internet, more people are using more bandwidth because they're getting more services.
Take BBC iPlayer.
Yeah, that
caused all the ISPs bitching about that. You should have invested in your network instead of dropping your prices to £2 a month.
Yeah, you really, it's pushing them to realizing it's not just a money making scheme of people surfing the net and reading their emails.
We don't just do text anymore.
Yeah, it's becoming a multimedia access point. And I really think that the internet needs to evolve. The companies who have been...
The internet doesn't need to evolve. The internet needs bandwidth for lots of it.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. The internet,
and especially for me, I want a 1 gigabit per second
When I say
connection.
The internet needs to evolve, it really is everything that holds... The structure of the internet, everything that holds it up. The ISPs, the lines, everything from the physical cables to the connections and the services that are held. Because... BT have the keys and they pass on that service to other people, but especially in UK, it needs to be whipped up and told, right, you're not good enough, we need better, because the services are not going to be able to handle.
Can I just butt in there?
Go for it.
To counter your semi-BT bash, but you just mentioned BT. BT actually have invested a lot in their network. The trouble is, it's all the cheapo ISPs.
Mm.
Who the bandwidth then flows into, where the problems all lie.
Yeah, it needs to
all
be...
The BT network is, it's I'm not going to say it's brilliant, because obviously I want Uber Fiber Optics.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I mean. What I'm saying is, BT are not doing a bad job, it's the people who, they've got the keys and they're passing it on to, and someone else does a rubbish job, and it all starts conflicting. And what I'm saying is, BT have to look into the future, that things are moving on. And
BT do look, because their core business is that market. Orange's core business is selling consumers any old fucking junk they can.
Yeah. I think it really needs to start getting some
liability of
what people are providing.
We need to nationalise all telecommunications, incorporate them all into British Telecom, and then say, right, go build us a 22nd century network. And they just go and do it. Within 5 years, it's done.
Yeah.
And the United Kingdom has the best internet access in the world.
Yeah.
Instead of using copper wires from the 16th century. Honestly.
Well, it's like every, you know, BBC. BBC is a great service.
The Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation. Yes.
But the way that it is funded around the system. And if we had, we had BBC and we had BT to a point, you know, it would...
Well, no, I think we should let the BBC handle... content creation, and that BT handle content delivery.
Yeah.
Shall we get on with our letters instead of your rant about Canada?
Yeah. But yeah, Canada was cool. Gaming is pretty sweet.
Adam's back, dude.
Yay.
And he's got a dude on his thing.
It's Death giving a child an ice cream. It's melting.
That's dodgy. Okay, we've got a letter here from Mr. Obi-Wan. Hi Adam and Paul. I listen to your show every week, but currently own only consoles: Xbox 360 times 2, PS3, Wii, PSP, and a DS. Hearing you guys talk about PC games has made me take the plunge and order a gaming PC from Wired to Fire, whoever they are.
You know them?
£10, please, advertisement. Whilst waiting for my system to be delivered, I have already purchased a copy of Crysis. Good choice.
Mm-hmm. Very good choice.
And we'll obviously need to get into WoW.
Definitely.
Well, maybe. In fact, once my time expires, sometime in June or July, I might not go for it again, because, you know, I've been playing it for quite a while, and there are other games around.
Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with having that break. I have.
So I need to get Catherine to play, but she's not playing, and it's really annoying.
Here's
me, like, getting all this epic gear, and Catherine's little noob is, like, level 27.
It's like, I will always be playing it, and I budget my paycheck, so...
Wow. Council tax. Wow. Food.
$8.99 of my paycheck always goes to...
First priority item.
A massive multiplayer. And when I get bored of WoW, I'll keep paying it. But if all of a sudden I'm kind of like, actually, yeah, I really am bored of WoW... I'm in the mood to...
Play City of Heroes.
Yeah. I will cancel my subscription and then add on the subscription for City of Heroes, and I'll just play City of Heroes. And I'll jump from one to the other. When I was at uni, I did play both at the same time. I had City of Heroes and Star Wars Galaxy and played both of those because I didn't get into WoW. And my mate tried to get me into WoW, and I was like, there is no point in me buying WoW because I'm about to graduate. I'm going to lose my internet access. My parents don't have broadband. It's a waste of money for me. So I ended up getting it somewhere later, and... There I am. But
halt. Given the fact that I've never owned a gaming PC, what other games, past or present, would you suggest I absolutely must play? Best regards, Mr. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Or just Obi-Wan.
To be honest, I think really, if you've never been a PC gamer, I think he's got to dip his toe into just a few genres to see how it feels about them before
he
starts spending serious money.
He needs to dip into a few select genres. May I recommend... Real-time strategy games.
Yes, because they're not that great.
They're a bit crap on the consoles.
Yeah, and you won't get the great taste for it, so you might find it as something that you'll get in your
What I'd recommend, Supreme Commander.
Yes, Supreme Commander.
Command & Conquer 3. Both of which are fairly cheap now. They're probably 20 quid.
Yeah, I would agree with Paul on that. Don't get the expansion patch straight away. Just get Command & Conquer. It is a top-tier game, but now is cheaper. And Command & Conquer 3, because they're two of the top-tier... strategy games, but they were both different.
Yeah.
One was more fast-paced battling, where the other one you could build more, so flavour.
Once you realise what you like more, then you can explore the rest. For example, things like Command & Conquer, you've got the rest in the Command & Conquer series, which were all the same basic thing. You build up a base really fast, matches are over in 10 minutes.
And you've
Supreme
also
Commander
got,
is much more big on scale.
Yeah, and it's
and
a longer
it ties
game.
More in with things like Rome Total War and Medieval, which
yeah.
all play, you know, it's much larger in scale and slower pace. Then, you know, you've got your turn-based strategy games as well, like Civilization.
Yes.
Which is good. I mean, because it's turn-based, it means you don't have to give it all your attention all the time.
Yeah.
You can run it in a window and just, you know, do something else on the computer at the same time. And just every so often go back to Civ and see what's going on,
mm-hmm.
which is good. First person shooter is obviously, he said Crysis. I don't think you can go wrong with Crysis, it's a brilliant game. But then there's other games like SimCity and things like that.
Yeah,
you know, you can pick up
your simulation.
You can pick up, yeah, you can pick up SimCity 4 for 5-10 quid now, and it's a really good game.
Well, later this year we will be having Spore coming
Spore,
out.
Spore, I'm talking about later on.
Where I would definitely suggest
Half-Life 2.
If you're getting a PC, get it on the PC. Yeah, Half-Life 2.
The Battlefield series, that's quite good for first person as well. For
any sorts of Sims, so maybe The Sims. Sims 3 is coming out soon, Sims 2 is out.
You dishonour me with mention of this inferior product.
You know what I mean? That you're going to have to maybe try. I would definitely go have a look on demos, maybe get hold of PC Gamer magazine or something like that, just for the whole trying to get hold of some demos and really have a bit of a play just to see what you like, because there's so
World in Conflict,
yeah,
that's,
Age
yeah.
of Empires,
oh that's old dude,
you've got the Dawn of War series, so it depends what you're into as well, like even I like playing Warcraft 3, and that's a really old game, but it's still good to this day, so it all depends on what your likes and dislikes are, and then finding a game based around it, and there are different
because
genres.
Because the
on
thing
PC.
Is, if you try and play console games on the PC, like ports from console games, you're going to think, "Wow, that's really shit."
Yeah.
Because it's just a cheapo port from the console, so you need to get into the PC genre.
Yeah, you're going
to instead of trying to play console genre titles on a PC, which doesn't always translate well.
Because you're basically stepping into the same shoes as me and Paul now, where the fact that I have my PC, I play my PC games on my PC, and I play my console games on my console games, and I do not go the other way. There are some games I could own on one and the other. Now, fair enough, there are things that I would
play.
Well,
some games cross over quite well.
Yeah.
Halo crosses over quite well.
Oblivion I played.
Oblivion crossed over brilliantly.
Half-Life 2, you can play on either with a great of these. So yeah, there are some that you can have on one or the other. And then you've also got the from the PC genres where you want to go. You've got futuristic, historical, stuff like that, which don't get played out as much. If you're a real historical buff, you could really go into the Age of Empires, Civilization, and
I'm a history man, and I have to say I don't like the history in Empire Earth, where it went into the future, man. That's done. Whoa, dude. Don't get Empire Earth 2, that was really shit, though.
But
first one was good about 10 years ago.
Then you've got your flight simulations as well.
Yeah, you got your simulator games, and it's fun.
Obviously, racing games.
Racing games tend to be better on consoles.
Yeah.
But there are a few good racing games on PC. The MotoGP series that was on Xbox translated over quite well. And there's other things on the PC like GTR and things like that.
Battlefield 2.
Yeah, I said the Battlefield series.
Yeah, which played a lot better on the PC than it did on console.
Oh, God, yeah, definitely.
Especially with servers.
The console versions were just, like, chucked out there to make some money.
And also keep in mind that if you're finding it hard to compete on some games that don't require a lot of buttons with mouse and keyboard, and you're finding yourself becoming a noob again, even though you're better on it with an Xbox, then get yourself the wireless adapter kit and Xbox 360 controller or the PC version, whichever is the same thing. And hook that up, so if you need to go back to you playing a PC game but you want to go back to your controller, you can still bring that across.
Yep, hopefully that answers your question, Mr. Obi-Wan, aka Paul. We've also got something from Mr. Killypants here,
mm-hmm.
aka Killypants Mafia. LOGC. Yeah, okay. In response to my own question regarding PC combat flight sims, it looks like the upcoming Tom Clancy's Hawks, which is A-H-W-X, has some potential. I hope it's not butchered. So do we. Looks like Ubisoft Romania are developing it, the same group that did Blazing Squadrons. Uh-oh. Any news of GTA 4 PC release? Okay, first thing, Ubisoft Romania, they've done some good things.
Mm-hmm.
That was the same team responsible for Silent Hunter, I think.
Right.
Number 3 and number 4.
That's cool.
Blazing Squadrons, I'm trying to remember. GTA 4 PC release, I can't see anything. It looks like it's disappeared off the radar.
Yeah. All depends on... obviously, they're going to release it at some point, but it depends whether or not they're going to do a port or they're going to try and tweak it.
I think what the thinking here is, because piracy is now so rampant on the PC, is they put the PC release back so people buy it on the consoles.
Mm.
And then, you know, it doesn't matter if they only sell 50,000 on the PC.
Yeah.
Or 100,000 or whatever.
They're holding the sales out for a console release.
That's what I get the impression that everybody seems to be doing now, because piracy is just killing the PC app.
Yeah. The other thing you're going to have to keep in mind is the fact that it's an online game as well, so they've got to take that into consideration of setting up all that service. So.
Yeah, because with the Xbox, it's all, you know, done anyway.
Yeah.
That's okay, so that's letters that week. Hopefully that sort of answers. We need to look into that, Tom Clancy, Hawks.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that.
We'll check that out for next week. Okay, on with the news. There's obviously been a tirade of news over the last 2 weeks, so we're just going to hit some of the big ones that I think. Spore fans, there's a demo coming out on the 17th of June.
Ooh, nice.
So that's like 2 or 3 months before the full game comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if, like, how much of the game will be in it, or if it's just going to be like one phase or what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
But you can create your own character in it, and you have 25% of all the body parts to, you know, create your character, your noob species type dudes. So that's cool. And if you pay them like 10 quid to get some game or something, there'll be like a transfer mechanism, so you can transfer your species from the demo to the full game.
Right.
But I don't know, 10 quid. Also, in the news, Live Mesh was recently announced.
Okay.
Have you seen anything on this yet?
No.
Okay, Live Mesh is a new platform from Microsoft, which basically spans the cloud and the local client. It's actually really good. At the moment, it's just... they've got one application running on this platform, essentially, which is just like file synchronization. So I would recommend checking that out. You can see what it is at mesh.com, because we don't really have time to go into it now, because time is ticking away and we have like a 2-hour review to cram into 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Also in the news, this was announced yesterday, Microsoft have walked away from Yahoo, which is good.
Yeah, because we spoke about that couple episodes ago, weren't we?
It was like January they announced it.
Yeah,
basically the Yahoo board wanted like $37 per share. It's like, I mean, what Microsoft offered them for like $30 a share or whatever it was overvalued as it was.
Mm.
So yeah, Microsoft just said, forget it, we're not going to do hostile takeover because it would be too much hassle and we really can't be bothered.
And the other thing is, you got to look at it in different terms. Some people could look at it and go, oh, Microsoft haven't got the number to take
them
over.
This is a big win for Microsoft and a big lose for Yahoo.
But that's the thing. The side I think it's going to take is the fact Microsoft turning their nose up at and walking away. Does that mean that anybody else is going to ever be interested in attempting Yahoo now?
Their stock today dropped 20%.
Really? I suppose that really does put a down on them. They really have shot themselves.
Well, the thing is, it would be good for Microsoft in the sense... the only reason Microsoft are interested in Yahoo is because of the advertising in it.
Mm.
Because Yahoo has 16 or so percent share of online advertising. Microsoft have about 5%. So the idea is, merge those two together gives you a bigger ad pool.
Mm.
So, you know, you can make more money. Because that's why Google is, you know, just racing ahead in online advertising. So that's... the only real things. I mean, Yahoo does have a few other cool things like Flickr, but the thing is, trying to merge the two companies together would, you know, it's just, how, man?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to kill Live Messenger and have Yahoo Messenger?
Mm.
Are you going to kill Hotmail and have Yahoo Mail? You can't run two simultaneous things for forever. You have to, you know.
Yeah, the only way would be that the Yahoo runs as a separate organization and is just owned by Microsoft.
Yeah, but. Yahoo, Microsoft have enough of a branding problem with MSN, Windows Live, and Yahoo brands. I mean, it's four of their online stuff. It's like, what the...
Yeah.
Also, you know, I don't really like the Yahoo brand. You know, it's got a crap-looking logo. It's sort of catchy from, like, the mid-1990s. But
well, that's the thing. Yahoo was my search engine. That's what I used. And I stopped using that when I was still doing my IT course at college. And that is one...
But the thing is, Yahoo's index is actually quite good. They really have developed it quite well because they bought, you know, AltaVista and all that, all these other like small search companies.
Yeah,
and their index is actually quite good. I'm never going to use them though, but whatever. So yeah, that's really good news, I think, because everybody was expecting it to happen. But the fact that Microsoft just said. Is that they sent a letter to what's-his-face, CEO of Yahoo, 3 weeks ago saying, you've got a deadline until this date. A week went by, nobody heard what was going on, and then Steve Ballmer just like sent an open letter to him saying, screw you, man.
Right, I got two.
But a lot of speculation is that a lot of the MVPs at Microsoft really influenced the decision, because the MVP summit was just 2 weeks ago, and Steve Ballmer was asking the MVPs at the summit like what was going on, and I think that put Ballmer off, and obviously the employees at both companies would be a bit, especially those in the online divisions which would face possible mergers, would obviously be a bit wary of any buyout.
It offers
what were you
going to
say?
No, I just want to say I've got two more things to add, two demos that I've had a go on. I did quick reviews on them just on the sense of stuff coming up.
Okay, two quick demos. They are
Iron Man and the new Bourne game. I can't remember what it's called, but it's called the Bourne something.
The Bourne something.
I'm trying to remember. It's not the Bourne Identity because it runs through more. I think it's called the Bourne Conspiracy, something like that. Based off the three Bourne books and films.
Is that spelled right?
I'm not clear.
It's not going on the show notes unless you can tell me how to spell it.
I don't know how to spell it. We'll have to have a look. So there was a demo disc. Picked it up while I was picking up my copy of GTA 4. It's only got three levels on it, but it kind of reminded me of a Sega Dreamcast game, Shenmue and Shenmue 2. Not in the sense of the depth.
Dude, it's Shenmue Moo.
Not on the depth of how deep that game is, but on the bits where you're having the action bits where you're having to quickly press.
What are you talking about now?
Bourne.
The thing I didn't put on the show notes, right, okay.
It reminds me of that where you had to quickly press A, press X, press Y to do something quickly. It's very much like that where when you're playing the bit where you're playing Bourne and he's not got a gun, you're having to run around and use his instincts to move out the way of guards, move around, and then when you go into a fight, you've got so many seconds to complete the fight before the guards would have caught up with you or something. So it's kind of like a quick battle combat with a few buttons and a few special moves, and then you move on to the next person, and then gunfire will come, and you've got to quickly, a guy will run around the corner and you'll bump into him, and if you press A quickly, if you press A, you smack him in the head and chuck him head first into the nearest bin or something like that. But if you didn't press it, you'd end up in a fight, or he would have knocked you back in that bit. You have to redo and stuff. And then you had one where you're having a backflash of one of his assassination missions. So this one, you've got a gun and you're having to go around and shooting and stuff. And then he did the mini chase and you had to do that. And they add those three on there. It looks quite interesting. If you're a Bourne Identity fan, then you may get into this. It's not too open, but it's still quite fun, and it looks really nice. It's done really well, and it's more storyline based. I don't know if I'm going to be spending $39.99 on this sort of thing, but demo worth have a go. You might find something new and different that you haven't tried before. Iron Man demo, it's on download from Xbox 360. I don't know if it's on PS3 download. Very impressed. Found out that the company that is doing this, I think it's Serena, who have just been, I think they've been bought out by Sega. It's not that they're just doing it with Sega. I think they've been bought out by Sega. and Sega got hold of the licensing for Iron Man really quickly and just told him, right, start now. Don't wait till later. Don't make a quick game. Start now and take ages on it. And they've been playing, building this game for quite some time, and I am always put off. As soon as it says the official game to the movie, it's like, whoa, okay, yeah, make the comic game. I don't want to play the official one. It's going to be crap. Official Spider-Man, probably the only thing that ever got any good. Spider-Man 2 was as good as he ever got. Spider-Man 3, I don't know, Wii, bit crappy. 360 version was better. But, you know, I won't go out and buy Fantastic Four, the official game, or anything like that. And as soon as I found out Iron Man was coming out, I was kind of like, why can't they do an official comic game? That would be much better. This was very good. I was very, very impressed. Just for the fact that they got the hover jets systems working really nicely. It moves really fluidly with the trigger. So you slide the trigger out and you really can feel the difference of the hovering and moving lower and getting higher. Flight, oh my god, it moves so fast. I literally pulled back on the stick and started doing backflips in the air. And you're having missiles coming at you and you can dodging them and the bullet fire and stuff. And because Iron Man's suit is pretty much really cool, he getting that defense of being attacked and getting damage, and you can, your power unit, you can deflect it to weaponry, thrusts, life support, and you move it about like that, and you can upgrade the suit to a limit, because obviously in the Iron Man film there are only so many suits, so you can't do the same thing as he does in the comics where he has a suit for every situation, but they do let you upgrade the weaponry and the power systems and stuff like that. Got an Xbox 360 online, go download it, give it a go. If you've seen the film, you might really want to get this. I'm very tempted. It does look really cool. It's not a top tier game, but it's not a crap game. It looks nice. It actually does look nice. Gameplay wise, I've been playing, the demo is nine minutes playable. And if you complete the level, then it ends. If you don't, you've got 9 minutes to play it all the way through. And I've played it several times. I do enjoy playing it. And, you know, I was always tempted to get Superman Returns because I had to go on the demo on that. And that seemed pretty cool. But at the end of the day, it was partially lame at the same time. I've seen better Superman games that were based off the comic stories, not the film. And I would prefer a comic Iron Man game. But this played well. Worthy enough for me to actually pass money to. But probably won't for a while because obviously I got GTA 4. But yeah, onto the proper reviews. I picked up a copy of DS Mario vs. Donkey Kong 2. Very quirky.
Whoopee!
I haven't been playing anything on the DS for a while because I had anything that was fun and quirky to play. Did like this. The whole being able to control these robotic Marios and tell them what to do. If you like Mario and you like Lemmings, you'll like this game. It basically Lemmings from
Mario. I like Lemmings.
Instead of having multiple Lemmings, you've only got like 3 or 4, and it's less about what they can do, it's more about making them go along. And it's like playing the classic Donkey Kong versus Mario games that were out ages ago. And you get these little robotic Donkey Kongs, you get different ones. You have one with a basket that keeps stashing the robotic Marios in his basket, and you've got to knock him unconscious with these big hammers to get all the other Marios out. And you've got to get these wind-up toy Marios to the goal. And different levels require different things, and it is really quirky. And the great thing about it is they built a level builder in there. So you could build a level and then send it to your mate over Wi-Fi, over broadband.
Oh, that's
cool. And then he could have a go and go, well, that's cool, and then build another one and send it back to you. I thought it was multiplayer, but the multiplayer feature in it, I don't know if there's a multiplayer feature if you've both got the same card, but if you don't, it does have card transfer across. Unfortunately, it's not two-player. The card transfer across is only for the person to have a demo of the game. So you can pass it over to your mate and say, here, have a go on this, what do you think? But you have to have the full game to be able to pass it over to someone, to have the create a level, pass it over sort of thing. But you get construction kits, so every time you complete a level of that area, so one that's all tubes, or one that's watery, or lava, or a magnetic one, so you magnet, because you've got robotic Marios, they'll actually magnetize to the wall, so you can get them going up the wall and across the ceiling, and you have to find something, a trap, to knock them off to get them to the next level and stuff. So you get construction kits for each one, so it's kind of like a themed construction kit. For quick pick up and play with the stylist, very cool, and you have all these different like maneuvers that you swipe so many Marios, or you flick them, you make them jump and stuff. So very innovative, very easy to pick up and play on the go, because you're literally one hand controlling it, the other hand using the stylus. That's all you need to do. So very cool, very, very good game to pick up. Don't see it very often in the shops as well, so you have to keep an eye out for it. But I saw it there, and it was a lot cheaper in Canada, so I thought, yeah, buy that. Very impressive. Out of 5, for a DS game we're talking here, I would definitely give it 4 out of 5. Don't give it a 5 out of 5, because it doesn't feel like it's going to last a majorly long time. I probably will eventually get bored with it, but it's nothing to be put off with, because I could probably spend ages with the builder.
So it's not as good as Lemmings, then?
If you're a major Lemmings fan, you may like this, but it is nothing up to Lemmings standard sort of thing. But if you like Lemmings and Worms and stuff, quirky stuff like that, you may like it sort of thing. And if you play the old Donkey Kong games, you may get that sort of nostalgic feeling of playing the game, but it's definitely worth having a go. Next review, GTA.
GTA 4?
Yep.
Let's do this review then, dude.
Haven't played it much since I've been back. I've only had a bit of a go mucking about. Did a few levels, that was about it, and played online. But I had more of a go while I was out in Canada, because my mate picked it up on release day. We had taken it in turns on each mission and stuff, and had a go on multiplayer as well. Straight away, you know it's GTA, and straight away you can tell it's number 4, because the engine is so much more better. Stylistically, it's a bit weird how the faces look, but it is as close, without going self-shading, to the classic drawing and artwork of GTA 3 onwards that they've always used, and it feels better. It's really nice. All the characters' animation of their faces is really good, and the fact everyone's talking to each other, it works so well. The animation for all the cutscenes is really good. The animation for the characters, from now on, when your character gets in a vehicle, he continues to move. If he's on the phone, he's answering the phone. If you change radio station, he leans down and changes radio station in the car.
And yeah, I have to say, the animation in the game is a massive improvement.
If you've got someone in the car, they start chatting, and they'll move about and look around and stuff like that. So that is a big improvement.
What one thing I do like is, although a lot of people do run around everywhere, the default movement speed for pressing up is walking.
Which I absolutely love. It's no longer walking, then running, then sprinting with a button.
Because walking, you know, you're walking around the door, you open it up with your hand, which looks, you know, and it's like, wow, that's how it should be. You're not just this crazed maniac.
Have you walked
everywhere
into anybody yet?
Yeah.
You push them out the way gently. If you're running, you knock them over. It's great. The other thing that I really like about it is the fact that because you have to use a run button, if you tap the button, that's where you've got your sprint, and you can only tap the A button for so long before your thumb will go numb, which gives that sense of you can only sprint for so long. One thing that I did like about the game, and I've only seen it once or twice, but the fact that it is there has made me happy. I saw another criminal coming out of my car, got out, and all of a sudden I heard the police chasing me. It's like, there's no stars, what the hell have I done wrong? And all of a sudden, some guy comes leaping past me and up the street with two coppers chasing him. And then a police car ran in front and they arrested him. And I was like, for the first time, yes, I am not the only criminal. I am not the only other person being chased by the police in this game. The world continues on without me. And that's what I liked about it. The actual world and the surroundings seem a lot better.
The world is so much more alive and just more... you know, just the people on the streets are just so much more realistic. You know, they're on their phone, they're having a fag or whatever.
Yeah, it gives a nice sense of busy city like New York would be and stuff.
Although
like
I still
that.
Think there should be way more people on the streets and more cars, because it's still empty. When you're driving round, it still looks empty.
Another thing,
you know, you come up to a traffic light, maybe there's 3 cars waiting, and there's nothing coming the other way.
Yeah. But you get, as the time goes through, it gets busy hours, and sometimes I've gone out and it's been really quiet, sometimes I go out and you're like stuck in traffic jams. The world seems a little bit more fluid. One thing
I mean, there may be a valid gameplay reason for not packing the place out with loads of people, but you know, for multiplayer I'd like to see a scaling option.
One thing I did like was, you know, like unless you murdered someone, or you committed a crime by stealing a car, or you bump into a police car, that's the only thing the police will respond to. Not anymore. I pulled out in front of someone and clipped someone's car in front of a police officer, and they flashed the lights and went woo, warning me that I was pushing the edge. And then I drove off and they didn't chase after me. The chasing system is a lot better, where you get a circle of search.
Oh yeah, that is so much better. That is just way...
Police do not respawn in front of you. You get to see where they are. Now, fair enough, that's, you know, radar, okay, it is a game. You have a radar, you're seeing where stuff is. But while you're watching the police cars, you're actually realising that they are not spawning in front
of you. They're not just magic things which pop up everywhere just to annoy you.
They're chasing you, and the fact that now, it is not like you've got to get as far away from them as possible. Once you get out of that circle and the police are still parked,
you just need to not get spotted and lay low for a bit.
You can park up and just leave it there, and that's it. You have the police really close to you, but if you park up and hide, as long as that police car doesn't get anywhere near you, they don't know you're there. And it just makes it seem a lot better. The other thing is, no more invisible walls for island access. You know, before, there would be something sheer physical that your character cannot pass by that invisible field to get you into that next island. It's not there anymore. I've actually got onto the island.
No, there's a bunch of police and barricades and stuff.
But it doesn't stop you. I've actually got onto the second island already.
Oh, Riles.
Yep.
I'm going to have to do that later on, then.
All you need to do is get a chopper and ride over there. You go between the bollards. The difference is, instead of it being a physical one, literally, as soon as you do that, because they said it was a terrorist attack that caused the incident that allowed the police to...
You instantly get 4-star wanted rating.
No, you get 6.
Okay, you get 6-star wanted rating.
And everybody starts shooting you on thing, and you don't survive. But that's better. Instead of having physical, you've actually got... You know,
instead
you can
of having a magic wall...
Yeah, you can actually get over there, but you'd have so many police after you, and you've been shot so much from the
time
you entered.
Well, that was similar to San Andreas, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it just seems so much better on that sense, sort of thing. Nice to have the bikes back. Do you like the fact that when you steal a bike, you don't have a crash helmet, but if you get off the bike, or you get on a bike that has no person on it, he will pull a helmet off the side and put it on his head.
I do like the fact that bikes aren't everywhere, like in Vice City.
No. This one, I found shed loads of bikes, and they were at a biker's area, and that was it. Bar that, you find them now and again. The other cool thing is...
Although I'd imagine it'll probably increase when you get into the middle.
Yeah, different bikes. Head-on collisions. You can no longer...
Yeah,
go straight through the windshield.
Yeah.
I thought that's brilliant, because it takes them a while to get back up again, if you survive it, and it means that your car's crushed in the front, but... You're now you and your car are separated, so you've got that chance of shit, do I go back to the car? The cops are nearly there. Oh bugger, I'm gonna have to run for it. So it really does change that element. The other great thing
is that if you walk across the road and you get hit, you get knocked over, there's real physics going on and everything.
Yeah, go up the bonnet and over.
And that's a perfect reason to get your pistol out and shoot the fucker in the head.
The other great
you
thing
You run me over, dude. Now you die.
The other great thing is you no longer have to shoot someone's car to make them get out. You walk right in front of the bonnet.
You just have to point the gun at them.
Point the gun at them, and they get out. Walk away really slowly, and then the character starts telling them to run for it. They run away, you get in the car. No problem. Now, if you wanted to steal a car, it is better to get one from the side of the road, because you're not having to be seen chucking someone out, and you don't have to worry about that chance of getting stuck in traffic, and the guy come up and yank you out the car, and then get in his car. Now, if they did yank you out, they'd have a fight with you. You'd have a bit of a punch-up. But now, you want to steal...
Well, if you nick a car which is parked up, and it's locked, you have locked cars now, and he breaks the window and gets in.
And you've got to pull both triggers simultaneously, one after the other, to speed up the whole hot wire in the car. The police see, that means you've got to hot wire a car really quickly, and you have a time limit, and it's making it seem more realistic on that sense of breaking in. I was hoping they were going to do something more of having to pick lock and stuff like that, and maybe.
Nah, we don't want a stupid mini game every time you do that. We'll have a pipes game like in BioShock where you have to get the water.
I was thinking more of the whole thumbstick rotating them around and lowering them where they vibrate, like you had in Splinter Cell, sort of thing. But just for the whole of trying to actually have something more fun of being able to break in a car instead of pressing a button and it just happens. But this, I'm willing to let go. That it does work really well. Clothing change. They brought that back in from San Andreas, but it's not as a big element. And there's a reason for it. You kind of like go get your clothes changed so your appearance affects people. And then the whole taking people out. You can go on dates, but you can also take friends out. It's kind of like greasing the wheels of communication between other people who can do your favor
and
get
you
a gun.
You've got a phone now.
Yes, the phone interface. Fair enough. It's
a really crap phone. But
yeah. I don't know if you're going to get a newer version as you go along. The fact that it's got a full phone GUI interface in there, the fact that you can change the ringtone and change how you want it. You can even put it on silent, which basically kills the game. So if you're in the mood to just race around and do stuff and you don't have to keep hanging up on missions, you put the phone on sleep mode and it means all the mission activations are turned off, which means you just play the game as free roam, which I think is a great idea. Your multiplayer is put into there as well, so it's a great interface because it means that you don't have to have it in the options, because the options were always great. The fact that it's just a few audio video options to map, that was it. You didn't have to have a shed loads of stuff in there. And the game save load system was in there. But bar that, everything was always an interface that your character dealt with, and it's always been like that. So to be able to have these options that are like, where the hell do you stick them? Have them in the mobile phone. Being able to ring up for a mission is a great thing. You're no longer having to go to these hotspots. You get one or two, like with your cousin at the beginning and stuff like that. But bar that,
well,
a lot of them...
The story-driven stuff is all driven by you have to go and see somebody. The story mode is all driven by that. But you've got other missions like, you know, do a taxi. Instead of having to nick a taxi, you can phone your cousin up and he'll give you a job.
Yeah.
Once you get a high enough
friendship
rating with them.
And you can take these people out and you can ring them up and say, and you have a calendar and you can make an appointment and you have to keep it. If not, ring them back and say, can't make it. So, and it gives you options on the phone. So you've got hang up and answer as yes and no of what you want to do with something. And it allows you to have more fluid of playing the game how you would want to play the game. Not like, oh, this is the mission, this is the next mission, this is the next mission. So you're having to juggle a few things simultaneously, which makes the game seem a lot more fluid in the way that it plays. You're not just structured one thing after the other. You're starting to juggle stuff a lot more now. The mini games in there are quite a bit weird, but it adds an element to it.
Bowling's good, it's equal to Wii Sports.
Haven't had a go on darts yet, but the whole going to comedy thing, it brings in that the humour in it as well, because the radio, it's always been known for the humour and the radio, the stupid weird things that they make up and advertisements and the babiesovernight.com, where you can order a baby and it arrives with a plastic bag, and if you don't like the baby you put it in the plastic bag and show it in the nearest dumpster and get rid of it. You know, it's that weird sick humour that they've always had in the game, but now you get it in with the communication between the people. I went to a comedy night and watched this woman trying to sing, and she was going, oh, God knows what, and it is quite funny. And the fact you can actually go to the apartment and watch TV, and when you watch TV, that's really weird, some of the advertisement that you get on there and stuff like that. It adds a new flavour to that comedy coming through, because it's always been in the manual. You get the stupid stuff in the manual, which you get this time, but now it's brought out in many, many different areas to the game, to you as a person.
It's a much more rich environment.
Shooting out tires, another great thing. You can actually shoot out the tires on someone, and they will drive on rims. And
you could in Vice City.
Never did it on Vice City as such, but yeah, liking that element to it.
You might have been able to do it in GTA 3 as well. I can't remember.
Have you been able to shoot forwards on a car? I've always remembered being able to shoot sideways.
You can shoot from an arc from roughly forwards to that way.
Yeah, but it's the whole he smashes the window and then starts shooting. Have you managed to get a taxi yet?
What, an actual yellow taxi?
Yeah.
Instead of your mate's taxi? No.
When a yellow taxi once you get to a certain point in the game, you get this ability, and when you see a yellow taxi come past, as long as it's got its light on and there's no person in the back. Can't remember what button. I think it's
left button to call to.
Yeah,
call
and you
a taxi.
Whistle the taxi, and the taxi will come over, and you can get in the taxi. Then you push up and down, and you go through the thing. And if you've got certain areas like the bowling alley gets added to it, your home, places like that, and you click on one, and you pay, and he will drive you there. And you can just sit there, mull around. You pay a bit, you press X, and you tell him to speed it up, so he'll go a bit faster. You press A, you pay a bit extra, and the game allows you to skip the taxi drive, and you end up just loading straight to where your location is. But it means that you've got that ability to allow the taxi driver to get you where you want to go. You've got to go back home and you're one or two islands away, you tell the taxi driver to drive home, you quickly go downstairs, grab a can of Coke, you come back, there you are. You know you're being chased and you get in a taxi, you drive away, you tell him to move away, and as the person is chasing after you, you can smash the back the side window and start shooting out the back of the taxi, and the taxi driver may continue to drive. He may just slam the brakes on because he's right near a red light, and the stupid idiot will just jump out the car and drive away and leave you sat in the back of the car, and then you get out and steal the taxi and drive away. The elements of what you can do has been increased better. Instead of having the stupid, let's break into the military place and steal a jump jet Harrier and have a jetpack and all this other weird stuff, it's more realistic but still more, which I do like. The other great thing is, I drove straight onto the airport. There was nothing to nick, no airplanes to have, but you still could go in there. The only thing I nicked was one of those little luggage trolleys, and I'm driving around in a luggage trolley.
Those things are slow and death.
Then I accidentally went up onto the taxi rank thing, and then went onto the runway and did a head-on with a jumbo jet that's attempting to take off.
What I have noticed, though, is I haven't seen an aircraft... In the previous games, an aircraft, you would actually see the aircraft taken off and landing. In this, they just seem to do a lap of the airport and never actually take off.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't remember seeing one take off.
I spent a good 5-10 minutes hanging around in the airport, and I didn't see one take off and land.
Did you have the police chasing up to you once you went on the runway?
Yeah, in a single player, but I went there in multiplayer as well, and they were just doing laps of the airport.
Yeah.
Which sucked, because I landed on the top of the plane with my helicopter and got on the top of the plane hoping it would take off, but it didn't. So.
Oh, you had a helicopter in multiplayer, didn't you? What's it like flying the helicopter?
Good. Control's good.
That's good.
You need a bit of skill if you're trying to land on a difficult place, but yeah, it's good.
I've only played Deathmatch online against loads of random people, and I played one-on-one trying to beat someone to a mafia mission sort of thing.
I've just done the free modes, and I just went around and killed all the civilians.
Because
that's fun.
Yeah,
going into a burger place and just gunning everyone down.
I was really impressed with the multiplayer. It's going to take a while to get used to, but the whole chasing people around, and I really can feel that you and your close friends can get together and just either deathmatch
and just mess around.
Yeah, messing around. That great thing that made GTA 3 onwards great was the whole element of being allowed, actually being allowed gamingly, to mess around. Some games allow you to muck about doing things like that, and some games are so open that you can do stuff. But some games, it is level after level after level, and there is no messing around. And for the first time...
There's no sandbox.
Yeah. And in this time, multiplayer, you can still go and muck about, which sends a great element to the game. I was playing with my mate Tom online, and we were trying to do missions, and I had to shoot all these guys and get these half-naked hookers into my car. I got them to the car, I picked a really nice car, and the other woman just stood there, and I realised, shit, I've got a two-seater car, and I've got two women to get in this car. Mm. I got out the car, looked round, all of a sudden, as Tom hit this jump, went flying in the air, and landed on both these hookers. I was like, dude, so I just shot him in the head through the windshield, and went, there you go. And then we just spent the whole time trying to go over this jump, and trying to shoot each other in the air and stuff. And you can have so much fun, and it's that whole element of what you used to do playing two-player on GTA 3, and it was a one-player game, and you used to take it in turns and try and who could get the best jump in slow-mo over this bridge and try and make your car spin, and, you know, now you can actually race around and get in each other's cars and have car chases and stuff, and the elements of what they've given you alone is great, but the fact of what you can just do by yourself is great.
Right, now let's talk about the bad stuff.
Bad stuff.
One, you can't buy properties anymore. You cannot get uber rich anymore.
Really?
That is disappointing. I know I have a reputation of being a socialist, but I like being a property tycoon as well.
So there's no... Because I haven't got that far. You can move out of the slum that you start off
in. Oh yeah, you move out of the slum, you go into the nice area over to the west.
But you can't go and
buy... you can't go and buy a nightclub. You can't go and buy a house. You can't go and buy this. Like, you couldn't buy a city.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Okay.
Because that was a really good way to earn loads and loads of money, and you could just buy everything in the whole game.
Yeah. I suppose that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to keep...
Trying to make it more realistic.
Yeah.
Instead of some dude buying the whole city.
Who can do everything. You just do a few missions before you know it, you're the kingpin of the whole of the city, where this...
There's no big mansion for you to buy and live in, you know, it's...
Yeah.
So that's a bit disappointing. They got rid of... So they have lost features that the previous games have had. Property thing, the San Andreas thing with
the weightlifting.
Weightlifting and all glad. That stuff.
Absolutely glad they got rid of that. I didn't
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I don't really like. I never
didn't,
made much.
Didn't
use
like
of
that
it.
Element. I thing I like now is instead of the food element, the fact that now you can get a health pack, but there's not the main thing. You literally
you go to some dude and buy some food.
Yeah, or you get a hot dog or whatever, and that I like. That is a nice way of getting around it now.
What else bad? I suppose it could do with more people about and more cars about. What else is bad?
I think the other thing is the cars, they're trying to make it so that there is always a car to steal.
The controls are a bit iffy in that, depending on if you're driving or walking, some of the controls change. Like, for example, when you're walking about, you shoot by pressing the right trigger. But your right trigger is accelerate when you're in the car, so you have to press... I think there's a left button to shoot when you're in a car.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird.
It's weird, but I can understand the reason for doing it. Because
well, obviously, you want the right trigger to shoot, and you want the right trigger to drive a car.
Yeah, in both those elements, that's where it standardly is to people.
So they have to move things around like that, but it's a bit...
A bit weird at first. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those game elements.
And when you're in a helicopter, the buttons turn you left and right.
Yeah, I would have thought so, the pedals.
So probably to shoot in a helicopter, you have to press X or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But there's lots of little things, like when you're driving a car, you press X to change weapons, because you can use any of the weapons you've got to shoot out.
Hang on, by pressing X when I'm in a car, it puts the headlights on.
Hold X, and you put
okay,
four
so you can just press it as well, yeah.
Yeah, so if you've got more than one weapon, you can tap it to change weapon, but you hold it and you put the full beam on and piss people off and you get a bit more view of stuff when you're in the dark.
I always do that because it does light up the area a bit better.
But it's lots of little things that make this game, and there's probably lots of little things I have yet to come across. The first initial game playing of this game, it is absolutely amazing. You won't be disappointed if you're a GTA fan, or if you've just bought it, played it, and you enjoyed that sort of thing. You're not a major, oh my god, I need to own this game.
Not
but
you
played it and you enjoyed all of the other ones previously. It is another GTA game. It is the first one that will be the next numbered game. So obviously they have tried to do different things. The last GTA numbered game was number 3, and we got Vice City and San Andreas. And I wouldn't be surprised we'll have the same thing again of some named
We'll have some more expansion packs.
Yeah, because that's all they were. They were expansion packs of the engine alone. So we're probably going to get some more, and they'll go to different areas, and different people like different things. Like, I could not get on with San Andreas. I liked the game, but I just didn't like the whole, you know, gangster rap theme. I love the mafia thing. The mafia thing is what I like. That's the sort of thing I liked. And I really did, I liked Vice City, but I couldn't get into it. I actually preferred number 3 out of all of them. And I must admit, number 4 is more like number 3 in its area, and it's back in
number
Vice
4
City.
Feels like a remake of number 3.
Yeah, I think they've gone back, because they've gone back to Vice City, it's that people wanted to go back to Vice City. It was a good area to do it, and so it's a rehash, remake, back into the whole, you know, the gangs and stuff like that, and the mafia and stuff, and it's just, I think it's what people wanted.
One more criticism.
Yeah.
The radio stations are nowhere near as good as in the previous games.
No, I must admit, I was slightly disappointed with some of the tracks that are on there, but you can't have everything. Some of them, you still get some funny ones on there.
The advertisements and all that's really funny, but the music just is like, huh?
But then at the same time, you can, Xbox 360, you can cut the music off and shove your own soundtrack on.
True, but, you know, Vice City had the best soundtrack out of all of them.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But I've yet to find a radio station I really listen to.
Yeah, I just keep showing on the rock one for now, but I haven't listened to enough of them.
Yeah.
To like. So, but fair enough, you still got your genre cars, so any car that is the genre, who would drive this car, they're all still set on those radio stations for that type of thing, sort of thing. But yeah, no, definitely a good game. Multiplayer, loving the whole interface of being able to access it through the mobile phone. And you got some tutorials in there to be able to show you how to do everything, because obviously there isn't much written in the book or whatever. Map's quite good. Quite impressed with that.
GPS in some of the cars.
Yeah, GPS in... You've got GPS in all the cars.
You've got a GPS, like, waypoint.
Yeah.
Where to go on the map, follow this route. But some of the cars, like the more expensive cars, have GPS and it says, turn right in 400 yards.
Yeah, so you get all that in there. So it's quite cool.
Because it's totally wrong.
Yeah, so that's getting you down the wrong place. But... Yeah, it is. Just shooting. Another thing. I found at first my mate Tom said shooting was a bit weird. And he
I really like what they've done to it. You can lock onto a target, aka console versions.
Yeah.
Or you can just squeeze the trigger halfway down and you have a free look to aim.
And then having the person's... Because you've got your health in the circle of the
radar. Yeah, you've got your... Whoever you're locked onto is health shown as well.
Yeah, so you've got set metal bars you can shoot down and stuff, and you can head shoot people.
And the fact you can shoot people in their leg and they're like, you know, crawled around for a bit, then just get up and animation of like all how they interact and shoot stuff.
Cars were a bit weird at first. You found it a little bit.
Yeah, I found the cars really weird because I wanted to get more into the center, but they're doing it so the look of the camera is behind the driver.
Yeah.
Rather than in the centre of the car. It took me a while to get used to that.
The camera sways a bit and takes a while to catch back up again, but you can grab hold of the camera
and
move it about as you please. I did find the car swayed a little bit too much on the suspension a lot. It wasn't too stiff.
Yeah, they made the cars a bit bouncy.
You get used to it after a while, and some cars are more bouncy than others. Motorbike, much easier. They're not some hell to leather crotch rocket that you jump on and end up, before you know it, you've gone over the bonnet of an oncoming car. Much easier to control, much easier to get about on. Large selection. Some nice of the fact that they've got cruisers and choppers, which made me very happy. Sports bikes, motocross bikes, and you can even pick up the odd scooter.
Plenty big as well. I still don't know my way around.
No.
Apart from the couple of streets around from where you start.
Yeah, you start so picking that, up the odd bit.
It is a big city. It's much bigger than the two other city-based games.
Plenty of alleyways to get stuck down. The other great thing is, now and again, you've got that chance that the car rolls onto its side. It sometimes will go onto the... It will come back, and they automatically will drop it back on the wheels. But sometimes it's like, oh, nope, I'm on my side, I'm on my roof. And you don't get that automatic, you put the car on its roof so it bursts into flames and explodes. Sometimes you'll just put a car on the roof, and that's it. The car's on the roof, you can sit in there all day... wheel spinning upside down, and you're not going to get anywhere, so you just get out the car. It's not going to burst into flames and explode. Cars don't seem to burst into flames and explode as easily as before, which makes it a bit nicer. It's kind of a rare occasion if you really do screw it up. And also the fact that you can get to a point where the car just is crushed in the front. It doesn't catch fire. You don't get any smoke coming out, but the guys there go, come on, come on, and you go, and you're really trying to start the car, and the engine's just killed out, and that's it. So it is not just smoke, 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 fire, fire, blow up. You can just end up with a duff car that's been smashed around too much and just won't start anymore, and it's dead. It's not going to blow up. You don't have to think, geez, quick, tap the escape button. I want to get out this car really fast. I'm liking the fact that you still kept the swimming in, so that you can put the car straight into the water, jump out, and you can swim aside. Because that was the thing that I hated about number 3, was the fact water was... It was acid! You fell in water! Oh my god, I'm drowning!
Oh no, I'm the alien from Signs! No!
But, yeah.
Yeah, so the game itself, I think, would be fair to say 5 out of 5.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, now let's talk about comparisons between the two consoles. So we've still got... I'm still squeezing a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So it's out on PS3 and Xbox 360. The Xbox 360 version has outsold the PS3 version 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
In North America. I don't know what the figures are here. But it's broken sales records in the UK by like a billion games sold or something stupid.
Yeah.
It was about 50% higher than what Halo 3 shifted. Graphics-wise, pretty similar. PS3 has a 7-minute install time. But... the advantage of that is it takes a couple of seconds off the load times, but I haven't had any problems with the load times on the 360.
No, I haven't.
If you're driving around everywhere, it streams it all in as you go along, and if you just walk like for a cutscene, then you have 2 or 3 second load time on there. Mm. There's been some crashing reports on the PS3, and Sony have released this hilarious troubleshooting guide of how to resolve it. Turn off online, turn off vibration, turn off this, turn off that, delete your save games, etc., etc. to help troubleshoot it. It's really just like turn everything off, turn all the online features off, turn everything off, and see what happens. Delete your save games, see what happens. So that's kind of funny.
Who the hell want to delete their?
I'll delete my save game.
I gotta start from the beginning.
What else? Xbox 360 sold really well.
Mm-hmm.
PS3 sold fairly well. So we're actually sold out of 360s. What else?
By that, as far as I'm aware, there's no features that are individual to each console. same game
port. Only the 360 specific stuff, like achievements. There's no other specific sort of stuff at all in the game. Not that I've heard of, anyway.
Okay.
So essentially, it's the same version on PS3 and Xbox 360.
And for once, it came out simultaneously. None of this Sony have got the rights to GTA anymore.
Yeah, well, 360 version sold twice as many. So.
Yeah. Rockstar know where it's at.
Plus, we'll have exclusive content soon as well.
Yes.
Because Xbox will have like exclusive downloadable content in the future.
Yeah, we're PS3, won't we?
Yeah, so what I'd recommend getting it on the 360 anyway, is you get all the 360 achievements and downloads and online, etc.
I'm like, everybody's got more achievements than me, but I've got more score than everybody else. Because everyone else has got all these small achievements, including the ones you get at first, and I've got basically the first achievement you get, and I've got one achievement for walking away from the police on 4 stars.
How'd you do that?
I just managed to get away really quickly. I think I was on a bike or something, and I managed to just get down enough alleyways to get out of the way, and I just got 50 points for doing that.
What? I'm going to have to do that later on.
So I've only got 55 points. I've got the first achievement for starting the game in that one. And loads of people have got the same points as me, and they've just got shed loads because they've been getting them 5 at a time.
Yeah, achievements aren't easy to get.
No.
It's really slow. You're not getting 100 points for doing a mission or anything stupid.
No. It is literally for doing stuff that is incredibly hard to... A lot of the achievements, unless you're really skilled at the games, it's the stuff you do accidentally, not the stuff that you intend to do.
Yep, so all in all, good game.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. We'll be back next week. On Sunday, I assume?
Yeah.
We'll be back next Sunday for episode 115, where we'll talk about some stuff.
Yay.
Perhaps.